Well, the first thing I'd like to say is that I'm glad to be here tonight. I believe that the temperature is still falling. Seems to me like it's getting a little bit colder and colder. And I know this is very unusual for the weather here in Florida. I know this is supposed to be the land of sunshine, and it's a wonderful place to come to. Florida is an unusual place. I've ministered in Florida a few times, and down in Hialeah and Miami and different places, and it's a wonderful place to be and some wonderful folks here. And I think it's wonderful that you would come out tonight under the tent, in that it is cold as it is. I've been under the tents when it was much colder than this. I was under the tent a few months ago out in New Mexico, and it was a lot warmer. But I'm just thankful that we're here in Florida. A great memorial event in the Spirit is taking place by Brother Ernie Harburger setting his tent here in Titusville. He, according to what I understand, he could not have been more in the will of God in setting his tent here in Titusville. No more than he's ever in his whole life been in the will of God. The revelation of the Lord Jesus shows a great outstanding event in him setting his tent here in Titusville. And even though he says he's had a terrific struggle here in Titusville, yet it has been a great, wonderful memorial thing. And we've spoke of it already to some of the people upstate of why that he's here. And we're thankful to be here tonight. I'm just grateful to be here tonight. And I just appreciate so much you coming. Appreciate our black brothers and sisters being here tonight. I have some back over in Monroe that some of the finest black people in the world. People that don't make believe in their religion, but I mean people that's got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Who's got the real, genuine God within their heart. They live holy, and they, as Ernie said, they walk right and they talk right, and they're great sons and daughters of God. They're a wonderful blessing and inspiration. But anyway, we're thankful to be here tonight, and I know that the Lord has something in store for us. As I said, it's unusual for the weather to be like this in Florida, but I remember not so very long ago when we were down in the areas of Hialeah and Miami, when the Lord Jesus came into our room and talked with us, and the angel of God came to us in a vision, and I noticed that it was cold at that time. It was cold because I remember the wife having to send over somewhere and get something for heat, and it was very unusual even down as far as Miami. But being cold doesn't take away from the Spirit of God, does it? I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I trust that you are too. I feel like I am the least of all of God's people. And even though we've been privileged to preach all across the nation, from state to state, in Canada and Mexico and into the islands and different places, I'm fortunate enough now that we've got our ministry. By this weekend, it should be in at least 10 of the major languages of the world. But I still feel, when I meet great men like Brother Ernie and others, that I'm so very small. But I'm always thankful to be able to give a testimony and get up before the public and say something for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are really glad to be here? Let me see your hand.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, I know that this is the first time I've ever ministered to you, and I'll be on trial tonight. But as you listen, as I try to talk with you, I'm not a great preacher. I just kind of testify. But as I try to talk with you tonight, I want you to try to judge righteous judgment. Listen to the words that I speak and whatever the Lord gives to us, and try to understand. You know, I love to rejoice in singing. We do. Back home, we rejoice in singing, and they play and sing, and we have such a wonderful time. Now, I love to rejoice. I love to see people clap their hands and have a good time in the Lord. But it's when we start messing around with the Word or using the Word, speaking of the Word, it's then that the Lord Jesus comes on the scene and begins to talk with us. How many of you know that in the beginning was the Word? The Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
The same was in the beginning with God. The Word came forth, put on flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that right? The Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There every generation, the Bible said He sent His Word and healed them. The reason the church is in the condition that it's in today is because they don't know the Word, they don't understand the Word, they don't follow after the Word. They do all kind of things, but they don't know anything much about the Word. And that's the trouble. If they knew a lot about the Word, then they would be healed and they would have the things that they're looking for. All right, I want to read just a little bit to you. I never came here, I want you to know now, I'm not a preacher that believes in gimmicks. So if you're on guard tonight to see what kind of new gimmick the new preacher will come up with, you can forget about it, because we don't use any gimmicks. I feel like the days of gimmicks is over for the ministry. And I don't use any. And I'm not concerned about offering, so I didn't come here for an offering. I informed Brother Ernie before service that I did not want one penny from being down here, and I do not want any money at all, because I didn't come for that. I came here to visit with you and to try to tell you a little something about Jesus. That's why I came down here, just to have a friendly chat with you and tell you about Jesus and about the love of God, to let you know that things is getting nearer and nearer to the end. And I do believe in my heart that you that are here ought to really give to God and stand behind Brother Ernie Harburger, in that moving a tent around and setting a tent is a terrific expense. I know for sure, because I've done it, and it is an unbelievable expense if you've never done it. And a lot of times we'll give a dollar, we'll give $10, and we feel like we've done a whole lot. And sometimes that is a lot for a person. $10, it might hit them kind of hard. But when the preacher starts to do things, he don't give it in tens. It costs him by the hundreds to move a tent around and to take care of equipment and to see that things are done right. So I ask you to be kind to the man of God, to remember him, and to stand by him in that which he tries to do. Now, how many of you are really interested in the Word tonight? Let me see your hand. All right, I'm going to try to talk with you tonight, and as I try to reason with you, I want you to listen tonight, will you? The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How many of you give me time tonight to talk with you a little? I know that you're a little uncomfortable. I know it's not real warm in here. But how many of you are willing to endure the cross for just a few minutes here and just to get a little something over for Jesus? You know, a man one time gave just a little time to God, and God added 15 years to his life. The Bible tells us not to be in a hurry to go from the presence of God. And a lot of times, because we're willing to endure just a little bit, God will add years to our life. If we don't endure a few minutes, then God may take years off of our life. So then it's better that we give just a little time to God, that God may add years to our life. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me over into the book of Revelation. I want to take a thought or two here from the chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain, to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of the seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'd like to take a thought here tonight, if I could, in the 10th verse, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I'd like to dwell on that thought for just a little bit tonight, if I can. And I'd like for you tonight to give me your attention and listen as I try to expound the Word of God for just a little bit here to you. If you notice, we're down here at a place called Cape Kennedy. It's unusual that I would even take a text like that tonight, being right here close to the launching pad where they shoot at the moon. It's unusual that I would be here and take such a text tonight. But this is what the Lord dealt with my heart about, apparently, as I sought him this afternoon, as I talked with God in my bedroom. Then this is the thing that he impressed upon me tonight. I don't know just exactly what I'll say or how far along in the subject I'll get. It's a great subject, and it covers a lot of territory, and it has to do with the revelation of the Lord Jesus and what's happening to you in the very present hour in which you're living right now. You know, the church is not really ready for a revelation. How do you know that?
Amen.
Even though we ought to, by this time, be ready for the great revelational mind of Jesus Christ, yet we're still, as Paul said, we're still in need of milk and haven't come to the place as of yet to receive the meat and the strong things of God.
Amen.
I know that in this hour there is a people, though there are very few, that is being prepared for the translation of the church. Now, you know, the church world has left us under the impression that there's going to be a sweeping event that's just going to sweep over the people and rapture the people, and millions of people are going to be raptured out of the earth and taken up into heaven to be with Christ. But I want you to know tonight, it isn't going to be like that at all. Now, I know the church world believes that, but it's not going to be like that. Jesus pointed out the fact that there's going to be very few that will actually make the translation. How many know that Christ is coming back after a wife and after a bride that's without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish? How many know that?
Yeah,
but you know, out of all of the people in the world, a man will marry one woman. Is that right? Though there's hundreds and thousands of women in the world, yet a man will marry one woman. And when you think about that, that kind of makes you to understand how that God has narrowed things
things down the way he has in having a very few that shall actually be the bride of Christ. Is that right? Though there be many people in the world, it's going to be narrowed down when it comes to the translation of the church. I know the church world is in the great expectancy, and they believe that all of a sudden from somewhere the Spirit of God is going to enrapture the people, and thousands upon thousands of people are going to sweep away to be with God. But I want you to know tonight it's going to be a very few that will even be in the condition at the coming of the Lord to understand the mind that will translate them and take them away into that great world. You know, it's hard to conceive the idea of the condition of the church of today. As long as the church has been listening to the preachers, as long as we've been listening to what we believe to be the Word of God, it's hard to believe that the church is still as primitive as it is in the understanding of God's plan and God's purpose. And one of the great reasons for the condition of the church today is because the Bible said that the preachers or the priests love gifts. They come into a place for one purpose, and that is to believe the people today, to see how much money they can get out of them, to find out how much rock and roll they can work up to get them stimulated and get them into a move of the flesh to where God can't touch their spirit at all. And then when they get them worked up into a state of ecstasy, then they take an offering. They don't care how the people live. They don't care what kind of condition they're in spiritually. They don't care whether they learn anything about God. They're not concerned about that. They're not concerned about the people. All they want is the crowds and the offerings and to be able to go away and say, we've had a good time. And the Bible said that my people love to have it so. The people that should be the people of God and should rise up against such a thing will sit still and let these things continue on. There's no people like Americans. How many know that? America, the greatest place on earth, and yet her people won't rise up against anything. That's right. As a whole, her people will sit and let the government be corrupted. They will sit back and let the church be corrupted.
Amen.
They'll sit back and let their families be corrupted and won't rise up and do anything about it. America, it's hard to believe that she's in that kind of condition. But a daddy and mother will sit back in a home and let a daughter and a son and let a family go into corruption and not raise up against it. That people will sit back and let the government be corrupted and not rise up against it. Not only that, but in the church they will sit back and let preachers come into the pulpit and corrupt the church and not do anything about it. But I want you to know tonight, God is going to do something about it.
Hallelujah.
He said, someday I'll take those shepherds away and bring in shepherds after my own heart and bring forth shepherds that will feed the people. Is that right? I'll raise up shepherds, he said, after my own heart and bring forth somebody that will be concerned about the people of God, that will feed the flock of God. Hallelujah. The Bible said for the preacher to take the oversight over the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost has made him overseers, to feed the church which God has purchased with his blood. Hallelujah. You follow me? Never been a people like American people. Right here at this present hour, we're supposed to be ready for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what do you mean about the revelation of Jesus Christ? I mean that if you're going to be translated, if you're going to get out of this world alive, then we're going to have to know something about God. Now listen, folks, did you know that we are living in a generation that we're not going to be able to go by the way of the grave as the forefathers? Did you know that? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, we'll just all die out and pass on. But there is a generation that's not going to be able to go by the way of the grave.
Amen.
They're going to have to get something from God to be translated.
Amen.
Else they're going to go through the tribulation period.
Amen.
They're going to have to rise up and get something from God. Paul said, as being the apostle to the Gentile church, He said, there is a revelation, there's a mystery. They call the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, I show you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but be changed. There's a mystery that has to be revealed that will change the church and cause them to overcome death and perish by the grace. Not have to go through there. And I've discovered it. I said, I found it. Hallelujah, I've discovered it. All of my life I sought for it. I listened to preachers. I traveled all across the nation to listen, to see if they had it, to see if I could find it. But I couldn't find it. But one day God called me away, and God began to speak to me, and God began to tell me that there was such a thing. And he said, son, be honest, be straight, be true. He said, and I'll make you to know the mystery whereby you can pass the grave and won't have to go by the way of the grave. Hallelujah. Paul found it. But Paul in his day, he said, it's out of season, so I can't talk about it. I'm as one born out of season. I should have been born in Brother Pike's day. I should have been born in Brother Ernie's day. I'm out of season, he said. But I'm here in season. I'm not out of season. I'm not born out of season. I'm born in the right season. I'm born in the day of the revelation of Jesus Christ. But the church world today is in bad condition because the preachers have not taught them the righteousness of God. Let me tell you something, folks. You have to work up to this thing. You can't just jump into it. It takes a working up to it. Just Amen. Like you can't just jump Amen. Out there and get a college degree. Amen. You've got to go to into preliminary things before you can ever do that. There's an elementary side of life that you got to go through. Amen. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
And then there's another stage of school that you have to go through. You got to get a little grammar. Is that right? And then after a while, you're ready to get into college. And it's the same way with God. A lot of us are dropouts. We refuse to go on with God. Refusing to get anything from God, we're dropouts. So many people today are dropouts. They don't know anything about God. They haven't paid any attention to God. They haven't listened to the Word of God. They haven't done the things of God. They're dropouts. They've never applied themselves to spiritual things. All they've ever heard, it's just some get together and a lot of noise. Something that makes them feel good. Something that makes them want to shout. Something that makes them want to dance. Something that makes them want to live it up in the flesh. The world loves its own.
Hallelujah.
The world loves its own. There's preachers that have passed through the land today. And they'll license anything from the ministry. It don't make any difference if they just got out of the cradle, if they're big enough to say something. They'll license them for the ministry. It's abomination in the sight of God. You give them an offering, they sell license. You can get them on the radio, they sell license. Give me $5, give me $10. They sell everything from shoestrings to handkerchiefs. Everything from holy water to I don't know what. And the people of God don't have enough understanding and enough wisdom to rise up against it and know that it's not God's word and to put them to silence. That's the day that we're living in. What a time. What a day. Where is the real Holy Ghost? Where are the real preachers of God? Where are those concerned about the church? What is the church world doing? They've not taught us. They've not led us. They've not prepared us for this great hour of the revealing of the mysteries of God. And because they've not given us a foundation, they've not laid the right thing. They've not taught us to advance in the righteousness of God. They've not taught us to live according to holiness. They've not taught us to dress according to holiness, to think according to holiness. And here we are in the final hours of the great change, and God's coming back. And the people haven't advanced. The people haven't prepared. The people aren't ready for the last final touchdown of the things of God. The church world hasn't even come into holiness. I preach in holiness churches. And churches that call themselves holiness churches don't know anything about holiness anymore. How many of you know that God is the Spirit of holiness? God's not the spirit of Methodists. God's not the spirit of Baptists. God's not the spirit of Pentecostals. God's not the spirit of Church of God. God's not the spirit of UPC. God is the spirit of holiness.
Amen. That's right, amen.
The Bible said to be holy, for he's holy. Perfecting holiness unto God. Over there, when the Holy Ghost spoke, and John leaped in the mother's womb, when his dad was prophesying, the Holy Ghost spoke and said that God has ordained that we serve him in righteousness and in holiness, in righteousness and in holiness all the days of our life. Is that right? But the church hasn't even come into holiness. It's a shame and a disgrace. But even the catacombs of Rome, the visitors, the ones that's on tours from America going into Rome, going over to the catacombs, they've even got a sign put up at the catacombs saying, American women, will you please put on some clothes and have some respect for the dead.
Amen.
What a reproach. Communists, even communists, the way that we find it in America. And yet when it came into Vietnam, the papers carried it. They caused the women to take the mini skirts, put them away, and put on decent clothes.
Amen.
And said communists closed down the booze joints. Said they closed up the nightclubs. Made the women put on decent clothes. It's no wonder God is letting America crumble and fall to the ground. It's because the morals and decencies are gone.
Amen.
Even her enemies have more respect and more morals about it.
Right,
America, beloved America, that won't rise up against evil government, that won't rise up against corruption in the government, that won't rise up against the corruption in the schools, that won't rise up against the corruption in the church. The question was asked not too long ago. Sister Betty and I were sitting in on Congress over in Washington. But the question arose, how is it that they can have prayer in Washington and open their sessions in Washington with prayer and say that we who are in the rule of that jurisdiction cannot open with prayer in the schools? They're blind leaders of the blind. They don't know the word. Why is the church in the condition it's in, my Christian friend? I want you to listen for just a few minutes tonight. Why is the church in the condition it's in tonight? It's because those that went to preach was not sent. God said they came, they run, but I did not send them. He said if these men had stood in my presence and took part in my counsel, he said they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. The church hasn't turned from its sins. The church is still in corruption. It's still in a sinful condition. It's positive prayers that God didn't send them.
That's right. Hallelujah.
If these men had been sent of God, he said they would have caused my people to turn away from their sins.
Amen.
Is that right? Did you know the Bible said the wicked cannot even sit in the congregation of the righteous? Did you know that demons will make the wicked so miserable that when Jesus was preaching that the demons jumped up in the middle of the service and cried out?
Right.
The wicked can't sit in the congregation of the righteous. That means that in the church world today, that if there's so many wicked people sitting in the congregation, it's because the congregation isn't righteous. Otherwise, they couldn't stay there. They couldn't stay there. Demons have no fellowship with God's people. Darkness and light have no fellowship. How do you know that? God has called his people out of darkness into light. Is that right? Darkness and light have no fellowship. That's Bible. There's no fellowship. If there's darkness in the church, and that means that something's happened to the church, it means the light's withdrawn. Did you know tonight with you precious people that are sitting here. Most likely, if I really come down the avenues of holiness tonight, when I got through, if I had 10 people left here tonight, I'd be fortunate. In the congregation I'm preaching to tonight, if I brought the restrictions that God's brought and laid it down to you the way God wants you to live it tonight, didn't try to work with you like children, didn't try to work with you like babes, and yet some of us have been in the gospel for many years, and Paul said when you ought to be on meat, you still have need of milk, which is the first principles of the gospel. If I come down the line tonight, some of you that's professing the high standard of living right here in Florida, some of the churches that's supposed to be the greatest and the most outstanding as far as being advanced in the gospel are nothing but just little tottering babies. Some of the great leaders that's supposed to be the greatest in the knowledge of God, I found them to be little bitty babies. It's no wonder the church is in the condition it's in. An outstanding church. An outstanding church called the Church of God. And I believe the Church of God is one of the finest in the land as far as having held up standards, though they're really letting down lately. But they, one of their own ministers, said that a survey in the church actually showed that the people did not average 3 minutes a day in prayer. When Jesus said to pray always, said their ministers, an actual survey many years ago showed that they didn't average 15 minutes a day in prayer, even the minister. And today, I don't know whether they average 3 minutes a day in prayer now. How in the world can the blind lead the blind? For how can I tell you, my friend, what God wants you to do? How can I commune with you to God unless I know something about God? Unless I have a communication with God. If I go in life and everything that comes along, every time somebody jumps up and shouts, whether it's a woman, whether it's a man, whether it's a boy, whether it's a girl, because they can fascinate the congregation a little bit. If I listen to everything that comes along, no wonder the church is in such a mess today.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, don't you believe it's that way, Brother Pike? God took Paul the Apostle after he had trained him for many long years under men like Gamaliel. Many long years, and the Bible said he was without blame concerning the law, a man that was spotless. And then before he put him in the ministry, put him over 3 years in the Arabian desert to teach him the word of God. He commanded that a novice be brought to the ministry.
Hallelujah.
And today we've got everything. God have mercy on our soul. God have mercy on the church tonight. It's no wonder that the revelation of Christ can't be brought to them. I'm going to say just a few words here. I know that I can't get into the revelation of the Lord tonight. I knew that when I read that scripture, though I would really like to. But I felt like I need to exhort you a little bit. Maybe there'd be a little breaking. Just a little something that would open up a little place in your heart. A little understanding in your mind whereby God might come in. Listen, folks. Did you know that Paul was a revelator? How many of you know that? Paul spoke of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you ever read that in the Bible? You know what John the Revelator spoke of? In the beginning of the book of Revelation, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto his servant.
Yeah.
Is that right? In the book of Revelation. How many of you know that Paul spoke to the church and commanded the church to pray that God would grant unto the church the spirit of revelation?
Amen.
How many of you tonight have the spirit of revelation? Paul said, pray that God will give unto you the spirit of revelation. The greatest thing that ever happened to me outside of the new birth was when I received the spirit of revelation. I never knew there was any such thing as the spirit of revelation. I never knew that the church was in the condition of sin. I fasted before God. I prayed many long hours before God. But I still, with all of that, I still didn't realize the condition of the church. I didn't know that it was in the condition it was in. I never realized it was such a bunch of children until I received the Spirit of revelation. But tonight, we need to pray, we need to fast, we need to ask God to grant unto the church the Spirit of revelation. We need to ask God to open up our hearts, open up our minds, and open up our spirits. I'm going to say just four or five little things here, and I want you to listen tonight. There's nothing so beautiful as the mind of Christ. Absolutely nothing. Do you know what translated Enoch? That he should not see death. The Bible said he was translated by faith. Is that right? You know what took Elijah out of this world that he should not see death? He went out by faith in God. You know what caused Jesus when he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration to appear in the same place where Moses and Elijah was, that is to say, in glory? Inasmuch as his raiment literally glistened and glittered before the people. And you know what caused that? It was the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. It was the mind of Christ. It was faith. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I've got faith. But you can't have faith unless you have the mind of God. Do you know the Bible tells us that all men have not faith? It says in one place, God has dealt unto every man the measure of faith. Is that right? God has dealt unto every man the measure of faith. Then somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if the Bible says that God has dealt unto every man the measure of faith, then every man has faith. But that's not right. The Bible said that God has dealt unto every man the measure of faith. That when you speak of natural faith, natural understanding, natural believing, every man has that. He has to believe he can get up out of a chair or just sit there. But brother, when you talk about the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, when you talk about the faith that cometh by the hearing of the word of God, the faith that cometh by the mind of Jesus Christ, all men don't have this kind of faith. Did you know that?
That's right, amen.
All men don't. The Bible said if thou canst believe, if you do have this faith, then all things are possible unto you. When you make contact with that mind, you know why they don't have it? It's because they don't know the word. Somebody says, Brother Pike, I just got a lot of faith. I've had them to come to me and they say, I just got so much faith. You just don't realize how much faith I've got. I said, how much do you know about the word of God? And they didn't know anything about the word of God. As a consequence of that, they couldn't possibly have faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. Faith comes from the word of God. You hear it, then you believe it. If you don't know it, you can't believe it. So it couldn't be faith. That's God's faith. You understand what I'm saying?
Hallelujah.
To be translated, you got to have faith. To have faith, you got to have something to have it in. Is that right? That's the word. And to have the word, you've got to have a preacher. Yeah. And to be able to preach, the Bible said he's got to be sent. Is that right? The Bible said these went, but I never sent them. They run, but I never told them to go. Is that right?
That's true.
They had a vision, but it wasn't from God.
Amen.
Like the Jews having a zeal to go about to establish your own righteousness. Said, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Is that right?
That's right.
The zeal of thine house, the zeal to shout, the zeal to dance, the zeal to rock and roll, the zeal to have a program, the zeal to do like we want to, has literally pushed the word of God out into the background to where there's no place for God anymore. No time for the word. No time to understand the word. No time to listen to the word. We've got too much zeal to do what we want to do. That's what we call church. But listen, folks. We may have a lot of zeal, but that isn't going to translate the church. Faith, Enoch was translated by faith in the word of God. Somebody said, but the word of God wasn't even back there by the pot. But the Bible said the word of God, the scriptures appeared unto Abraham. Before they ever become a scribing, before they were ever made a scripture or a scribing, they were already the spiritual word, for in the beginning was the word. And God the word appeared to Abraham. And he's still here today. This is not God. This is not God. God is a spirit. God is a spiritual word. This is only a statement concerning God. This is only a prepage to let you know what the invisible God is like. But the God that I'm speaking of is right here present tonight. For it promised if someone would come in his name, just two or three, that he'd be there in the midst. That God is present in your heart. That God is present in my heart. That God is present here in the tent tonight.
Yes, amen. Glory to God.
But did you know there's something else? Did you know that somebody else is present tonight too?
Hallelujah.
How do you know that Satan is the prince? A prince or a ruler? How many of you know that? That he is the prince or a ruler over the powers that is in the air? How do you know that devils and demons are in the air? How do you know that that's why God let there be music and let there be singing to soften the atmosphere, to drive back the demons, to create something to where God could get to the mind? How do you know that demons are actually in the air, just like an epidemic or a plague or some kind of disease? The Bible said Satan is the prince or the ruler over the powers that are in the air. What about those powers? The Bible said the children of disobedience are taken into captivity at the desire or the will of the devil by these powers that's in the air.
Hallelujah.
You follow me? Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you believe in witchcraft? Paul said, who hath bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? That's what the devil is a witch. That's right. He works through anybody to bewitch you. He's just got a few specialists.
That's right.
You love the Lord?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not going to get around anything much tonight when it comes to the revelation. But I believe I'm dropping in some thoughts that might cause you to do a little thinking tonight. Satan is real, folks, just like God is real. And if you don't have God on the inside of your heart, then the devil's going to get in there. How do you know that? And if the devil gets in there, he's got some, how do you believe in the power of suggestion? He's got some suggestions. He'll suggest that you go to places that don't become holiness. He'll suggest that you wear clothing that is not according to holiness. He'll suggest that you do some things that's not according to holiness. Paul said, if anything have any virtue in them, then look at these. Think on these. Read about these. Spend your time in these. If it has any virtue in them, if it's got anything that'll build up Christ in your heart.
Hallelujah.
You understand what I'm saying? If it's anything virtuous about it, then think on these. Use these kind of things.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Bible said a virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. How do you know that when the little woman came to be healed and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that it was the virtue that healed her? That's what's wrong with the church today. The church don't have any virtue. The church is so mixed up with the world out yonder until it's not a virtuous lady anymore, and it don't have any virtues anymore. It dresses like the world, it speaks like the world, it acts like the world, and it doesn't have any godly virtues anymore. The Bible said, add to your faith virtue. And when the little woman touched Jesus, the Bible said that virtue went out of his body and healed the woman.
Right.
Is that right?
Amen.
The reason you don't heal anybody is because you don't have any virtue in it. If you get full of the Holy Ghost and be filled with the Spirit and get filled with the virtues of God, when you pray for people, they get healed.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? It's not the power of might, but it's by the virtue. It's by my Spirit, said the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me say this and I'm going to close. Not coincidental that we should be down here in Cape Kennedy right nearby. I read about the woman on the moon tonight. How do you know that America's a woman? How do you know that? Somebody said, I wonder if it's getting late, Brother Pike. It's a lot later than some of you think. The Bible is speaking to you everywhere, all the time. All the time. I'm just going to drop in a thought or two tonight. It's late, my brother. It's late, my sister. A lot later than you think that it is. One great man of God, a prophet of God that's been proven to be a prophet, predicted by the year of 77 that America would be blown to bits. From all that we can find out of the man's visions, he made about 5 to 7 predictions in the year of 33. And one of them, the last one of them, was that America would be blown to bits by 77. Did you know that all that we can learn, every one of the visions came to pass precisely, exactly the way that he said since the year of 33. Every one of them has fallen into place just exactly like he said. And here we are going into the year of 76. He said he saw the calendar turn until it reached the year of 77, and said the calendar did not turn anymore. Said the calendars turned from the year of 33 until it reached the year of 77. And then he said the calendar stopped turning. And then when the calendar stopped turning, he said, I looked and America was blown to bits. She was nothing but ashes, just a heap of ashes. My brothers and sisters, that means that that's just a year away. A year away. What have you done for Jesus? If the man's visions have come to pass the way they have, then it sounds to reason that it might be that this one will come to pass too. If that is true, then what have you done for Jesus? How many of you know that no government has ever lasted over 200 years according to history? How many of you know that that's true? How many of you know that in the middle of this coming year, about July, that America will turn the page of 200 years of government? How many of you know that communist is already setting in right now? And the communist government will take over by the middle of this year. Watch and see. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I don't believe it. I had a Russian friend. He was a Russian Jew. And he told me, he said, Brother Pike, said, my dad was the richest man among 11 million people. He said, but communists took over overnight. And he said he took everything that we had. I still got the man's testimony. And he said, by night, thousands of people was killed and laid dead. By night. He said, they took over. Nobody, until the radios begin to announce that communists is now ruling. A new government coming up, folks. A new government coming up. A new government coming up, 200 years of government gone. And the prophet predicted that by 77 that this place would be blown to bits. Something is happening. The tribulation period is right on the verge of coming in. Yeah. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I don't believe that. I just don't believe we're that far down the trail. I don't believe that the scriptures have been fulfilled that much. I don't believe that it's time for the Lord to come back. But I want you to listen to this. The Bible said in Revelation 12, the woman stood with her feet on the moon. Is that right? And the Bible said she was heavy with child and travailing to be delivered. Is that right? It said on the top of her head she had 12 stars. How do you know that she represented the church? How do you know that she also represented Israel? And that those stars on top of her head represented the 12 apostles and the crown of life that comes from the teaching of the word, from those 12 teachings? How do you know that? The Bible said she had her foot on the moon. Is that right? Which goes back to the law, for the Bible said that we're founded upon the law and the prophets. Is that right? Upon the foundation she stood, having a crown of life of the teachings of the 12 apostles upon her head. Is that right? By the word of God.
Hallelujah.
The words of life. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
And the Bible said that she was as the sun was in the script.
Hallelujah.
Is that right? Clothed with the sun, the Bible said. Which is the glory of God, of the anointing of the Spirit of the living God. That the woman was in the presence of the living God. Is that right? And another thing, did you notice that she was in heaven? Did you notice that she was in heaven? This woman was in heaven. That's another thing. Being the church, the woman was in heaven. I know this is going to go way over somebody's head, but I want you to listen for just a few minutes. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean this woman was in heaven? Well, when Jesus stood here on the earth, he looked at Nicodemus, and Nicodemus asked him a few questions, and Jesus said, thou being a ruler of Israel, you don't know these things? Nicodemus, you tell me you're a preacher, that you're a master, that you're a leader, and you don't know these things? He said, Nicodemus, I've been up to glory. I've been up to heaven, and I've been come down from heaven. And he said, Nicodemus, I'm still in heaven.
Amen.
You hear what I say?
Hallelujah.
He stood there on this earth, and Nicodemus stood there before him. Right there before him, he stood. And Jesus standing on this earth and looking at a man, and a man looking at him, and he said, I'm standing in heaven, Nicodemus.
Yes, amen.
Come on, folks.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on, folks.
Amen.
Where's the church roll tonight? Where's the preachers taking them to tonight? Somebody said, well, bless God, I don't believe it. But when he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration and he said, take a good look at me. And the Bible said he appeared in glory. And there was Moses and Elijah with him. And his raiment became glistening, thin and white. He proved he was in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Is that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where is the church tonight?
Hallelujah.
It said the woman was in heaven. It said she was in heaven. It said the woman was in heaven. Is that right?
Yes.
That woman was in heaven.
Amen.
No wonder Paul said he was called up to the third heaven. It would be good sometimes if we could have a teaching on the heavens, wouldn't it? Find out what heaven is and where it is. And how she got there.
Oh,
how she got there. But the Bible said she was in heaven. I haven't got time to go into that tonight.
Glory.
But I'll tell you what, the Bible said she was in heaven. But did you know what? When that child was born, I want you to get this tonight. I'm going to try to hurry along and just say a few things here because we can't get into it tonight. But this woman was standing with a foot on the moon. Have you heard anything about a footprint on the moon lately? You heard about a woman having her feet on the moon? There's a scripture that said, though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Is that right? I said, it said, though thou makest thy nest among the stars. How do you know the moon's among the stars? How do you know that when that little satellite landed up there, they put down a thing they call the nest? That's what they call it. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, I will cast thee down to hell, Jesus said. How do you know that the carnal mind is limited to God? How do you know that that comes from the tree of knowledge? Way back in the garden over there, they set their nest among the stars. He said, thine iniquities have reached up to heaven, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Is that right?
Right.
Are you listening?
Hallelujah.
Said that woman was on the moon. She had her foot on the moon. Is that right? The woman had her foot on the moon. How many know America's a woman? How many know she's had her foot on the moon? You know how they emphasize the footprints on the moon, even put it on a little stamp, you know, when they put it on the letter. The footprints on the moon. The woman was standing on the moon right at the time of a hard travail. How do you know that America's been having a hard travail?
Yeah.
How do you know she's been having a hard travail? You say, what she's trying to do? She's trying to find the Superman. She's trying to find her leader. She's trying to find that great man that's able to deliver. She puts in one present right after another, trying to raise up one great leader right after another. But the Bible said in that day, no man shall save them. No man. You know what the prophet said? He said, you sinned until there's no remedy for your sins. There's no remedy for your sins. No man shall save thee in that day. For it said, Jesus himself alone shall be exalted in that day. The Bible said, all the nations, America, all the nations, Japan, all the nations, Germany, all the nations in that day shall repent and say, we've forsaken God and let us turn back to our God. Is that right? And the Bible said the house of the Lord shall be established in the high hills and shall be a beautiful place, and all nations shall flow unto it. Somebody say amen if that's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They'll say, come and let us go up to the house of God and let him teach us of his ways. I like his ways, don't you? The Bible said his ways is not our ways. I like his ways. Our ways is to do the way we want to. And the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. But God's got some ways too. And those ways are recorded in the Bible.
Amen.
And we've got to go his way because his ways is the ways of life. Your ways are the ways of death. Is that right? All right, let me say a few more things and I'm going to close. And the woman had her feet on the moon. Is that right? There she was, standing on the moon, in hard travail. Oh, what a racial travail she's been in. There's been fight. There's been conflict. There's been fear. There's been frustration. And it's growing bigger and bigger. And America's going down in the sunshine of racial conflict and problems and heartaches. And a child is being born. Is that right? And the birth pains of a nation is shocking. And the Superman is ready to come forth. Who is he? The Antichrist. The Antichrist. You know why? Because America, that woman that's a type of the church. And that Antichrist is a type of Jesus. How do you know that Paul taught types and shadows? That's right.
Hallelujah.
It is a type. What is
Hallelujah.
It?
Hallelujah.
Here's something else too. The Bible said while that woman was on the moon, said there was a red dragon. You ever heard of a red dragon? Said he had seven heads. Have you ever heard of that? 10 horns and had some crowns. Have you ever heard of that? Said there was a red dragon. Said when and this woman stood on the moon, said, right there around the woman, there was a red dragon. How do you know that the devil's in the spirit too? How do you know that he's a fallen angel? He's a spirit too. And the Bible said a red dragon was there. Ever heard of red communism? Ever heard of communist China? You know, communist China believes in the dragon. How do you know that? They emphasize the dragon. They lift up the dragon. As a matter of fact, not too long ago, one come around the campground up there and gave somebody a dragon, not there at the campground, but somewhere off. A Chinese gave it to them. They emphasized the dragon, the red dragon. It's noted as the dragon nation, red communism. Communism. Where was communism? Where was the dragon? Said it was laying right there close to the woman wanting to devour the man child. Communist doesn't want America to have a leader. Communist wants to have a leader that'll take over. Is that right?
Amen.
The devil's laying right there, the church heavy with child, ready to bring forth the child, but the devil's laying right in there right now. Amen. And just as quick as that man child comes forth, Amen. The devil's ready to divide. But the Bible said he was caught up into the third heaven. She was already in heaven. But it said he was caught up a little higher.
Hallelujah.
Caught up a little higher, is that right?
Hey.
Hallelujah. Paul said in the third heaven. Third heaven. Is that right?
Amen.
A third heaven.
Amen.
He said the woman went away into the wilderness for times and times and half a time. That is for 3.5 years. A tribulation period took over. When that child was born, a tribulation period took over. A little part of government took over that wasn't too good. For 3.5 years, there was a place prepared for. Is that right? But that child, that wonderful Son of God, that many-membered body, that part that's been made flesh is the Word. Them that listen to the Word. Bible said the Word was made flesh. And when we listen to the mind of God, and we develop the Word mind, and the Word is made flesh,
yes.
And we become the many-membered man-child,
Amen.
Then we're elevated. We're caught up into the mind of God. We're caught up in the Spirit. We're caught up into a greater place.
Hallelujah.
I know you don't understand what I'm saying. But here we are at Cape Kennedy, right here where the launching pad is. A great thing is taking place in Titusville. How many of you know? Are you listening? I can't get into nothing tonight. But how many of you know that it was shortly after that Jesus was caught up from the grave and went up to the right hand of God? That man-child being caught up, how many of you know that it was right after that a man by the name of Titus came in and plowed the city like a field? How many of you know that? It's not by chance they named this place Titus. It's not by chance that Brother Ernie Harburger came here. Hallelujah, out of Virginia. The word Virginia comes from virgin. And the Bible said that woman was a virgin. Hallelujah. It's not coincidental that Brother Ernie's part Jew.
Hallelujah.
But when the days of the Gentiles are over, then the Jews come into the head of the nation. How do you know that? How do you know that in 76, the middle of this year, that this government's going to be over? And there's only one government that's going to stand and take over. That's the Jewish government. When it takes over here in the foreign land, the Holy Land. When it takes over in the Holy Land, nothing happens. We're going over there in a few months. But over in the Holy Land, it's going to take over. Communists is going to rise and every other government's going to rise. But the Bible said that Jesus would make the Jews the head of the nation.
Yeah.
You know what? I want you to listen to me tonight. I'm going to close in a few minutes. I'm not going to wear your patience. Hold on. But you know, the white man, he's really fighting for his rights. The black man is really fighting for his rights. The yellow man is fighting for his rights. And the red man is fighting for his rights. Come on. The ladies are fighting for their rights. And the children are fighting for their rights. But I'm fighting for God's rights. Somebody said, you just wait. We're going to take over. The red man said, we're going to take over. The black man says, we're going to take over. The white man says, we're going to take over. And the yellow man says, we're going to take over. But I got news for you tonight. Not one of them is going to take over. The Bible said that the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever, and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God. You want to get on my side tonight? I said, I'm on the winning side tonight. You're on the losing side. You join up with whoever you want to, but you're going to lose. But I'm on the winning side tonight. I join ranks with God, and the Bible said they walk hand in hand, and they don't break ranks, and they don't piss takes each other's turn. So all of them's going to lose, and I'm going to win. You want to be with me? So then the woman had her feet on the moon. And the red dragon was laying in there to get that child. How many of you know that communists went to the moon too? How many of you know there's a little rendezvous that's prepared? Been prepared by the United States and communists. That's right. The red dragon was laying in there too. Is that right? How many of you know that communists is interested in the moon too? How many of you know that's true? Interested in the moon too. Something is taking place. Something is taking place. A man child is being born. All of this is just a type. That's just a shadow. That's just a natural thing to let you know that we're right there at the end of the trail. That the book of Revelation is being fulfilled right before your very eyes. And God's doing something, folks. But we've got to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Can you hear tonight? Can you see tonight? A lot of things we'd like to say, Jesus said, but you're dull of hearing. But can you understand what I'm saying tonight? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want you to stand with me tonight.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
God's good, isn't he? How wonderful. What if the man of God is right? What if 77 is the last go-round? Then there's just a few little months. A few months. And after that, no more. A few months, folks, and no more. What have you done for Jesus? Are you procrastinating? Are you planning to do a little fasting or a little praying? Are you putting things off for a better season? Do you have something in mind to do for God? Have you been planning to make a sacrifice and help a man of God and stand with somebody to put the gospel over? But you just keep laying something back and preparing and looking in another direction. I want you to know that this Russian Jew told me, he said, Brother Pike, we were rich people. Had 11 acres for a flower garden. He said, but when communists took over, he said, we didn't have anything anymore. And I saw the little children cry. He said, Brother Pike, said, this is the truth. He said, I saw them dig trenches. And said, when they dug the trenches, said they took men and put a wire in their hand. And they linked them together in a chain and made them step off into the ditch. And said, Brother Pike, said, I saw them cover the men up to their heads here. And the men couldn't get out of the ground. And he said, I saw the ruthless Caesars on their horses turned loose like raging men and came through and trampled their brains out with the horses. When he got through, even the little children were crying. Johnny Lee made the statement that he never knew a man's tongue was long enough to nail to the floor. The Bible said the lying tongue, the gossiping tongue, shall be rooted out. Johnny Lee said, I saw him pull the tongue out and nail it to the floor. And the man would strangle to death on his own blood. Cruel. Cruel. Satan is cruel. Somebody said, Brother Pike, is that communism? No, that's the devil. Somebody said, why do you say it's not communism? Because it's the devil, whether it's in Americanism or communism or whateverism it is. When it was in Nazism, it was the devil. When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, it was the devil. When Santa Ana and his men ruthlessly came in on Texas, it was the devil on the Sabbath morning and killed him. Are you listening? Back during the Dark Age, when there was no such thing as communism, back there when the Catholic Church was in power, the Roman Church, they pulled fingernails out. They had the Iron Maiden where you step into it and the nails would close up on you and kill you. They tied cats on a man's belly and raised the cats and let him scratch his guts out. It was the devil. The devil's cruel. No matter what he's in, he's cruel, folks. He's cruel. You understand what I'm saying? He's cruel. Somebody said, Brother Pike, American folks are not like that. A soldier friend told me of an American soldier that he walked side by side with. He said, Brother Pike said he was a ruthless man. Said we went into a little old village, and there stood an old man and an old woman. Said they wasn't Americans, but they wasn't bothering anybody. Said he walked up and took his fingers and gouged their eyes out. Said a little boy walked by and this American soldier picked him up and took his knee and broke his back on it and threw him down. He said, Brother Pike, I could scarcely restrain myself from blowing his brains out. My own comrade. The devil's cruel, folks. whether he gets in me, whether he gets in you, whether he gets in whoever. We have American people here that the devil gets a hold of, and they pick up their little babies and they bash their brains out against the wall, and then they don't know why. You know what you need to do is get full of the Holy Ghost. You need to get full of the Spirit of God. We're living in bad days, folks. You need to have the Spirit of God. Somebody said, well, I can make it by myself. The sisters back home sang a song, I thought I could make it by myself. You think you can make it by yourself, but wait till the devil really gets a hold of you, and you're not going to be able to make it.
Right.
You're not going to be able to make it. Look, why do you dress like you do? Well, you know the Bible teaches against it. It's because you can't make it by yourself. See, you don't have the strength to overcome that carnal mind and make it shut up and cover that necklace on that body, do you? Come on, folks. Why does men run around with hair so long when the Bible said it's a shame for men to have long hair? Why do they do that? It's because they can't make it by themselves. Why do women wear form-fitting clothes? Why do they go out on their husband? Why do they do like they do? Why do the young girls mess around with married men? Why do they do these things? They can't make it by themselves. See, it's the spiritual power of the devil. They're taken into captivity at the will of the powers that's in the air. But when you got him, oh, and I feel him tonight. When you got him, you're like that light bulb or something coming out from you. And the devil can't get close to you. The darkness can't get close to you because you're glowing all over. Hallelujah. The Bible said it was as the sun shined in his strength. Is that right? I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the power of God right now. I really do. I'm not making believe. I feel the Holy Ghost. I felt him in my hotel room today. I felt him as I prayed. He came in my room and talked with me. And I feel him tonight. Going through my body up and down the avenues of my soul. I feel him. He's alive. He's at home in his temple. The Bible said, let all the world keep silent, for God is in his temple. Hallelujah. God's here tonight. God's here tonight. Hallelujah. I wonder tonight, as I stand here for this few minutes tonight, I wonder where you're standing. I wonder if you've done anything for God. I wonder if you put him off. I'm going to ask you to do something tonight just for a few minutes. I want you to step out tonight. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise God. I want you to step out for a few minutes, whether you're a sinner or a saint. And I want you to come up here for just a few minutes and gather around the altar for just a few minutes. Come on, folks. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Let everything that hath breath praise God. It doesn't make any difference whether it's sinner or saint. God's got something for you tonight. We sang the song when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful experience with God to be part of that great generation. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You might not know this song. We sing it over the island sometimes. It's a little song that says, I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I wonder if you could sing it with me. Mm-hmm. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. Can you sing it with me? I long for Jesus Christ, my friend. He will come and take me to my home up in the sky. Up there where angels shout and sing. Can you sing it with me now? Oh, I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend. He will come and take me to my home up in the sky. Up there where angels shout and sing. Don't you love him tonight? Don't you love him tonight? I want you to slip your hands up. Just slip your hands up with me tonight, will you? Tonight, the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Examine yourselves. The Bible tells us that if we would judge ourselves, then we'd have no need to be judged. But folks, when we're judged by God, we're chastened of the Lord, that we be not condemned with the world. You don't want to be condemned with the world, do you? You don't have to be chastened by God, do you? Check up on yourself and see if you're living according to His Word. If you're doing the thing that pleases Him. If you're not, then make up your mind tonight. God, I'm going to move up. God, I'm going to do something extra special. God, I'm going to do better than I've ever done in my life. I'm going to ask You for strength. I'm going to ask You for help, Jesus. I'm going to make a special effort like I've never made in my life, Jesus, before. Because I don't want You to chase me. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to die with cancer. I don't want my days to be shortened by my disobedience, God. I don't want to take years off of my life like I've seen come off of other people's lives because I didn't conform to the image of Christ. I'm going to make a special effort, Jesus. I don't want to die a premature death. I want You to search your hearts tonight. See if you're in the faith of the Word tonight. Examine yourself and see if you're in the faith of the Word tonight. I feel some wonderful spirits tonight. I feel some people that are concerned here tonight about their spirit. I feel the mighty Holy Ghost tonight. I feel the wonderful presence of rejuvenating of my soul. A jubilance inside of my heart. A holy activation from God that's inside of my being tonight. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I feel somebody concerned. Somebody believing tonight. I want You to just lift them hands up tonight. I want You to pray with me tonight. I want You to make a dedication tonight and do something extra special. I want You to do this. Before we turn the service back to our brother Ernie, I want You to hold your hands up with me now. I want to pray. I'm going to ask God to help you tonight. The Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I believe that God has made us righteous by His blood. I had a report the other day. There's a woman dying over in Ohio. They've been took her to the hospital. 83 years old. Lived her days out. Dying. No hope for her. Her people rushed there. Watched her as she was dying. But I went to prayer and I prayed and God spoke to my heart. And God touched the woman and healed the woman and took the woman out of the hospital. And I got the report the other day. It says a miracle to the pie. She's back home doing fine. The boy came to me the other day. His baby had a fever of 104. Wanted me to pray. I prayed. He went back home and he said, Brother Pike, it's a miracle. Said the fever left immediately. Said it's a miracle. Said I've never seen that happen that quick in my life. Such wonderful testimonies. We was telling about a testimony the other day. A boy came by the place and said, Brother Pike, I want you and your people to pray. Said my mother said she just kind of pulled herself around on the floor. She's in a condition the doctors can't help her. Been that way for a long time. Said she's a pitiful sight. We prayed and sent a handkerchief over, a prayer cloth over to her. Said, take it to her. I believe God did something. He took it over and then he left. And then after a few weeks, he went back over. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, I was shocked. He said, my mother was up walking around. Said she was helping my daddy can and helping my daddy put stuff in the freezer over there. Said she was made whole. God's so good tonight. Folks, if you got cancer tonight, God will heal you. God will heal you. We had a woman to come to our tent not too long ago, and she came there to criticize. She came there to criticize and went back home to learn that God healed her of cancer. She liked to have a fit and her husband too. When she found out that God healed her of cancer. Isn't God good? God will do things like that for people that come to criticize Him. He'll rain on the just and on the unjust. Lift your hands up with me. I'm going to pray earnestly tonight. I'm going to pray earnestly tonight. Before God, I'm going to pray earnestly tonight. And I'm going to ask God tonight to do something for you folks. And I believe that He will. I believe that He will. If you'll believe with me tonight, I don't care what's wrong with your body. I feel good in my body tonight. God's been so good to me. Hallelujah. I feel like shouting. Amen. I feel so good tonight. Isn't it wonderful to feel good in your body? Have God to watch over you. Well, you say, Brother Pike, you've never been sick. You just don't know how bad. You just don't know some of the things I've been through with. Oh, you don't know the sickness I've had in my body. But tonight I'm healed. I'm whole. I'm well. I'm strong. I'm healthy. In God. And God's with me tonight. And God will heal you tonight. If you'll believe tonight, that virtue from heaven will come down tonight. You'll feel it tonight if you'll believe. As I pray tonight, I'm going to pray a simple prayer for you. And as I pray, I want you to believe it. I want you to accept it. Remember, it belongs to you. He sent His word and healed I preach the word to you tonight. Have faith in it. He sent his word and healed me. By his word he cast out the unclean spirits. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you can believe the word tonight, he is the spiritual word that's among you tonight. In the beginning was the word. He was God the Spirit, and he's in your midst tonight. And I want to pray for you. Believe with me as I pray, will you? Heavenly Father, tonight as I pray for these people, God, as I stand here in your holy presence, I know that it's not by power, it's not by might tonight, but God, it's by your Spirit. I'm glad, Father, I'm acquainted with you tonight. I'm glad I'm on speaking terms with you tonight. I'm glad you hear me tonight. Jesus said, thou hearest me always, Father. I'm glad because you love me. Oh, and I'm glad because you love the people. Peace on earth, God, and goodwill toward man. Oh, God, as the shepherds were down the hillside, and Father, here we are at the Christmas season. Father, as the shepherds were down the hillside, and the great light shone round about them. I feel that great light of understanding here tonight, shining round about us, Father, tonight. Lord, as that shepherd, Father, heard the voice of the angel, when the angel said, a son of God is born, and because he's come in the world, God is bringing peace on earth, and goodwill toward man. And Father, by the blood atonement tonight, I feel that peace on earth and goodwill toward man from thee tonight. I know that you've got a goodwill toward us tonight. Help us to believe in your mercy tonight. Heal these people tonight. Father, if there's cancer here, heal it. Oh God, whatever disease there is here tonight, I want you to move it, God. I want you to heal these bodies tonight. Let them feel the divine presence of God and the healing power of God tonight. Their hearts be convicted tonight. Heal, Father. Forgive of sin tonight. Heal tonight. Oh God, you said they that I bless would be blessed. They that I curse would be cursed. You said whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. And whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Father, hear from heaven and loose these that are ported unto death tonight. I remit their sins through the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Father, I heal these sick bodies by faith in God tonight. Father, I look to your Spirit tonight to give glory to your holy name tonight, as your Spirit tonight brings healing and brings deliverance. I feel it tonight, Father, as it comes near. I ask you to do it in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus, tonight.